kingdom-minded. And it has a subtitle that says, living the life that Jesus paid the price for. I hope everybody came taking notes. Kingdom-minded, living the life that Jesus Christ paid for. How many of us have, and we're in the presence of God, so I assume that nobody lies. How many of us in the past or in the present or usually say this statement? I know that's what the Bible says, but... No, you could be honest because I'll raise my hand up first. I mean, if you don't want to do it first, I'll do it first. I've said it in the past. In fact, sometimes I say it in some particular situations. But how many of us have said that statement? I know what the Bible says, but... Sometimes all you need to do is just get your behind out of the way and see God work. But that statement is sort of the reality for most of us. We know what the Bible says. We study the Bible. But for some reason, there's a but in putting it into practice. And so that is sort of the stem from which I'm coming in this topic that we're teaching. And so the first thing that I wanted to talk about is, how many of us understand what it means when we say we are saved? Right? Because we all go around, okay, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, the Lord has saved me. But what does it really mean when Christ says, I have redeemed you? How many of us have redeemed a gift card before? Right? You're familiar with the term, redeem your gift card, redeem your voucher, stuff like that. But essentially, when you redeem something, it's to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. Right? It's to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. So when you say Jesus Christ came and he redeemed us, what does that exactly mean? It means you were owned by somebody before. And Jesus Christ came, paid the price, and regained you as his possession. Right? So when you're saying you're saved, it's not just in mouth. It's not just in saying, oh, yes, it's a wonderful thing to say I'm saved. But really, the truth of the core of the matter is that Jesus Christ paid a price that lets you know that you no longer belong to the enemy. You now belong to Jesus. Right? How many of us belong to Jesus? You're not really confident in the way you're raising your hand. So, okay, just a few people. Some people are not sure yet. Maybe after today, some people will be sure. So I'm going to ask us to read Colossians 1 verse 13, because I want you to see something very, very important as to what we said. It says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Right? What did we say about redeeming? It's about regaining possession of something. Right? This scripture tells us that Jesus Christ, the payments that he made on the cross, his blood that was shed, was to take us from where? From the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of Jesus himself. Right? It is important that we start to establish some basic understanding, because most times, like Chris will always say, and people in our Sunday school class knows this, if the foundation is wrong, everything you build will fall. It will collapse when the right wind comes along. And this is one of the basics. This is true definition of just being saved, being redeemed. Christ said, I have taken you from the kingdom of darkness and brought you into my kingdom. So essentially, there are two kingdoms that are always at play in our everyday life. One is the kingdom of darkness, and one is the kingdom of Jesus. Which do you belong to? Which do we belong to? The kingdom of God is an established thing. Like, it's as real as being in America and being in Nigeria. two separate kingdoms. Well, they're countries, but it's just as real. There's a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of light. And both are constantly at work to see who you will belong to. Because contrary to what most people think, there's not one single thing that a human being does that they originated by themselves. How many of you have just been walking down the road and a thought just comes into your head? Like, don't you think you should just, go over there, go to that store. You're hungry, right? You could take something. You were just walking. You were not, like, it wasn't, you didn't care. You were just walking. But the thought came out of nowhere. Where did the thought come from? And how many of us have also experienced something where something is happening in your life and a thought comes up in your head and it says, I am not the head. I'm the head. I am the head. I am the head. Definitely. Let me change that. I am the head and not the tail. Where did that come from? We have to understand that as human beings, we are constantly trying to straddle between two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And what Jesus did was come to pay the price that we will be able to go back to the kingdom of God. Why do I say go back? Because if we read Genesis 1:26, we will see the reason for which God created us. Right? So just for a brief moment, I want to introduce you to yourself. Yeah, because some of you don't know who you are. I say some of you because fortunately, some of us do. And you can think it's pride, but I just do. It says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. What does that say? Already, human beings are like God. Man was created like God. You're exactly like God. I don't want that to be a strange concept to Christians. Christians find it, oh yeah, God, yeah. Like we know God is the ultimate. Yes, but he created you just like himself. Right? So we are created in the image of God. Right? And it says, they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the animals, all that stuff. But they're created like God and they will reign. Right? So those are two very important things. Because the kingdom of God, when God created the heavens and the earth, I think of the earth as an extension of God's kingdom in heaven. Right? I don't know how many of us are very familiar with, if you watch the History Channel or you're familiar with history, you know the Roman Empire, right? Right? Or let's use the one that's familiar. The Kingdom of Great Britain. How many know that? Jesus, come on now. Guys, we just finished doing it at the center. Come on, talk to me. How many know the Kingdom of Great Britain? How many know the Queen? What's her name? Queen Elizabeth. Okay, so there's a kingdom. Because most of us, we know the concept of country, but it's very, we don't know the concept of kingdom. Nigeria, where most of us came from, at some point was under the what? The colonial rule of Great Britain, right? So here you are in Europe with the kingdom of Great Britain. There, established, the queen is there reigning. And she says, you know what? I want to expand my kingdom. And they came to Nigeria, and you know the rest. Right? In that time when Great Britain was ruling Nigeria, there were established governors, you know, that would be in Nigeria representing the queen, right? She didn't have to come, but she sent people, right? We know, how many know Frederick Lord Lugard? Come on, history, come on. Yeah? You do? You do, you know Frederick Lord Lugard. What did he do? Who was he? Nah, let's not do that. But anyways, the queen had a kingdom which was separate, far away. But she came along and established another kingdom. But if you have a kingdom and you establish that same kingdom somewhere else, you need people there to oversee it, to fulfill your will in that kingdom. Right? So when God created the heavens and the earth, he extended his kingdom to earth, made everything, and then now said something. Let us create man in our image and let him reign. So in other words, man was God's governor on the earth. Yes. So if you're looking at yourself and you're saying you're not worth anything, my God, you're worth a lot. So he established us and he put us on the earth to reign over the earth. He gave us authority over everything. We read that scripture, the birds, everything. He didn't give us authority over each other. Everybody knows that. Yeah, you have to keep reading because... But he gave us authority over the earth. But we were never supposed to, just like the governor in Nigeria could not do something outside of the Queen's will in England. Same way, human beings were never supposed to at any point remove themselves from that kind of relationship with reigning on the earth. But we all know what happened in Genesis 2. What did man do? Honestly, the devil is a stupid devil. He said, did God ask you not to eat it? Ah, come on now. If you eat it, you'll be like him. But guess what? In Genesis 1, he already said, we created them like us. So why did... You will get it one day. But anyways, when God created us, he didn't expect for us to ever be separated from him. We were given dominion over the earth. We were given the ability to reign over the earth. But we were always supposed to be in connection with God. Because that's the way it was supposed to be established. That was the kingdom principle. So essentially, when Adam and Eve fell and they ate the fruit and everything happened, the death that they died wasn't the death to say that instantly they fell on the ground and humans ceased to exist and God had to create another one. No. It's that connection between the king in heaven and his representatives on earth was broken. Let me give you that same scenario, right? Imagine if the governor that was put in charge of Nigeria at the time decided, you know what? Bye-bye, Great Britain. We're not doing anything. Instantly, that country becomes, Nigeria is now in enmity with the kingdom of Great Britain because now they've rebelled against the kingdom of Great Britain. Remember that time when we gained independence? What did we do? We said, Great Britain, we're no longer under you. Yes, you know, there was bloodshed, there was all those things, but essentially we removed ourselves and now the governing body of Great Britain could no longer establish their will in Nigeria. Right? So in essence, when Adam and Eve sinned, the separation that occurred made sure that the will of God, as he designed it, there was a problem to it now. And the problem was the connection. Right? Why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this to give us just sort of an understanding of who we are, where we're from, so that we can understand the life we're supposed to live here on earth. Another thing that I wanted to mention just before we start going and pouring into this part of the kingdom is if you don't recognize that you are not created to live in heaven, you'll continue chasing heaven and not fulfill the plans that God has for you on earth. I know that sounds strange. Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? How many people want to go to heaven? Don't lie. At least be honest. How many people want to go to heaven? Okay, so if God's original plan was for us to be in heaven, there was no reason for him to put man on earth. There's no reason. You people think you're going to go to heaven and then you're just going to stay in heaven? Ah, you need to read the book of Revelation. You're coming back. You're only going to heaven for a brief moment. Like, you're going to heaven for like yay period, like this one. And then you're going to come back and then be on earth. Because God's original plan was a kingdom in heaven where he is, and a kingdom on earth where he reigns through the man that he created to reign. So if you're always constantly, if the only thing you're thinking about is, yes, I'm going to make heaven. And the Holy Spirit is just asking you, come on, man. Heaven is already fine. We don't need more of you. We don't need more of you. Come, chill. Do what you're supposed to do here on earth and have fun here on earth. Right? So what did we establish? We are created in the image of God. So we obviously know God is spirit, so we're spirit, right? He put us in this kingdom, earth, which is the extension of kingdom in heaven, right? And he expects us to do his will, right? So now, I want to now talk about how this applies to our daily lives. We've been redeemed, right? Let's forget all the stuff that Adam did because Jesus took care of that. Thank you, sir. Right? Right, we've established a few things, right? We don't need to talk about what the enemy did, all the sins, all that stuff, because as we know in this church, honestly, if you don't know in this church by this time what Jesus came to do for you, come on now. Jesus took care of all that. So he saved us, he redeemed us, and guess what? Now we are back. We are back in the original plan. The original plan, the way it was supposed to be. God in heaven, man on earth, communication through the Holy Spirit, God's will being done here on earth. Honestly, if I stop here, you have all you need. But we're not going to stop there because sometimes we need to explain a little further, right? So what does that mean exactly for me, right? A kingdom requires a king, right? A kingdom requires a king. And God is the King of Kings, right? Can I give you a brief explanation of that statement, King of Kings? Who are the kings here on earth? Us. So when God says he's the King of Kings, he's just saying, these guys, everybody here, they are the bosses, but I'm just the boss of the bosses. Right? So you're a king. Right? You're a king. The only difference is you respond to a king, a higher king, who is God. Right? So when he brought us here on earth and he established and he put this plan back together and Jesus did all these amazing things and he brought us back into that original plan and he let us have that relationship back through the Holy Spirit because now the Holy Spirit lives in us, what essentially are we supposed to do? The reality is we are supposed to go back to the way things were or the way God intends for it to be, which is to be a king, but to respond and do the will of the King of Kings. Right? Do we get that? To respond and do the will of the King of Kings. Now, I want us to talk about the kingdom of heaven, because why? We need to understand what the kingdom of heaven has or is to be able to understand what God intends for the kingdom on earth to be. When Jesus Christ said, when the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, he says, thy will be done where? On earth, as it is in where? Man, are you people, you just want to go back to heaven. Honestly, you have to realize that you're already in heaven. You'll get it tomorrow. Anyways, We have to come to that reality where we realize that we are back in the plan. Right? When Nigeria was under Great Britain, what was the currency in Nigeria? Somebody. Pounds. What other country spends pounds? Great Britain. Why? Because that's the original kingdom. So if that's what the original kingdom is doing, that's what we're going to do here. When Nigeria gained independence, what did our currency become? Okay. Because you will see that once you start rebelling against the original kingdom, things start working differently. Different from the original plan in the original kingdom. So if God has now changed everything and brought everything back, what in essence is are we supposed to be experiencing? We're supposed to be experiencing the kingdom of heaven here on earth. God, this child. Anyways, so that's why we want to talk a little bit about the kingdom of heaven, right? And I'm going to use Jesus. Why? Because Jesus came to give us an example of what the kingdom of heaven really is like, right? When Jesus Christ came, right, he established a few things. He said something that's very critical, which is something we've been trying to explain. He said, I only say what who says? Where is the Father? Where was Jesus? Oh my God. He only said, I only do what? Where's the Father? Where was Jesus? Oh, you guys are excellent students. I like you. But really, and then when he says, Jesus now said something so amazing. He says, greater things. Ooh, greater things than Jesus did, will you do? Because Jesus was only here for 3 years. He just gave us a sample. We are supposed to be experiencing, such amazing life that God has prepared, right? So let's talk about a few things that heaven is like. In heaven, the will of God is done all the time. I don't know, one day I was going out of church and I don't know why. Sometimes this happens to me. I went to Otito Okoye's car and out of nowhere, you know that meme that says nobody and then just put my picture there. Nobody. I know went to Otito's car and said, Otito, you know what heaven is like? Heaven is a place where the will of God is done all the time, 24/7, right? And what would that look like if earth became a place where every single person was doing the will of God all the time? Do the 2 + 2. Heaven, the will of God is done constantly. If earth becomes a place where every single person is doing the will of God, it essentially becomes where? Heaven. Right? And so what are we trying to do? What this whole go preaching to all the nations, go do all of those things. What are we essentially trying to do? We're trying to get everybody to that place where everybody is responding and doing the will of God. And that's just it. Right? Let's read Matthew 6:33. Do we need to put it up or does everybody know it? It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously and he will give you everything you need. Most of the times, Christians read this passage like this, God, I need something, so I'm going to seek you. That's not what he says, seek me regardless. Seek the kingdom. Seek to be doing the will of God because he's the king in the kingdom. If you're seeking the will of God and you're doing his will, automatically everything else becomes added to you. Right? But we struggle with that. Why? Because we have not come to the point where we recognize God and Jesus as our king. See, in a kingdom, things are different than in a country. In a country, you have Senate, you have all those people. They come together, they make laws. But in a kingdom, the king reigns. If the king says something, that phrase becomes law. Right? Okay, let's look at some examples. If we look in the Bible, right? You know the King Herod? Right? When they came to him, the three wise men, they said they're looking for a baby. He said they should come back. They didn't come back. So he said, kill every single boy between the age of 0 to 2. Those people were human beings themselves. They didn't have to. Like, they could have been, don't let's kill this one. Let's kill that. But the king said it, and that settles it. You go carry out the will of the king. See, we think of God as God. Oh, God is giving you suggestions. Maybe you shouldn't be a doctor. Maybe you should be a musician. You're thinking, oh, God is asking me whether I should be a musician. No. He's telling you, be a musician because that is my will. But we think every time God says something, it's up to us to decide whether or not we take it. And that's where most of us fail. It's not, when you read the Bible, it's not a suggestion. This is not the Bible, actually. When you read the Bible, it's not a suggestion book. Wow, it got quiet. It got really quiet in this place. When you read the Bible, Chica, when you read the Bible, it's not a suggestion book. That is the will of the king. And if you recognize him as the king in your life, you're supposed to do the will of the king. And here's the problem. Most of us don't recognize that. Different from earthly kings, we have a king who his heart is a heart of love. Right? So when you read in the scripture, right, the will of the king is not out of personal gain. Because do we really think that we can impress God? On our best day, we cannot impress God. He is giving us his will so that we will have a life that he prepared for us out of love. Right? So when you read the word of God, you have to recognize that the word is supreme. The word that you are receiving is a word that you're supposed to follow. Right? It's a word that you're supposed to follow. See, when we read the Old Testament and we read the Ten Commandments, I started reading it a little differently. When he says, thou shalt not steal, I can just imagine God saying, don't be stealing. You don't need to steal. Look at the kingdom. We have everything. Why are you stealing? When he says, don't covet your neighbor's property, hey, don't worry about that. Just seek the kingdom. You will get what my will is for you. You'll get what my will is for you. And that's why when we are in this dispensation of the Holy Spirit, you don't need the letter of the law, because in your heart, you now have that relationship and you are seeking the kingdom. So the things that he had to write, you know it in your heart that, man, God's got this. So it's no longer somebody telling you, don't steal. It's the Holy Spirit witnessing in your spirit, telling you, God will take care of it. You don't have to take that person's belonging. Right? And what does this do for us? Because when we come to that understanding that the word of God is supreme, the word of the king is supreme, the word of the king is what should be done every single time, it takes the guesswork out of your life. Right? Not one day I want to become a lawyer, then 2 days after, you know, God is asking me to be an engineer. And then finally, you became a dentist. And all the while, God just wanted you to be a middle school teacher. See, she said, you know, I like people like that. That's that statement I said in the beginning. I know what the word of God says, but. Because you've put a but there, because you think that if God says I should be a middle school teacher, God now, middle school teachers don't make much. What are you talking about? You live in heaven, come to earth, see the salary. And God is like, what are you talking about? Become a middle school teacher. There are kids that I want to learn about Jesus. Your thinking is a salary. God is saying, forget the salary. Do what I'm telling you to do so that when those kids come, you tell them about God and then you will find out that, oh my God, I'm much more fulfilled. Like, the peace is there. But no, we start chasing after. Onyeka, you said you only need 15 minutes, have you? Okay, yes, we had a little power. He said he needs 15 minutes, so 4 seconds. Anyways, 15 minutes more. So, when you are taking the word of God as a suggestion, you miss out. It's not God. Like, because God already knows the plan. He already knows what he's doing. He already knows what he has prepared for you. Right? Let me give an example. Where's Ore? No, I can only use my family members because Ore, come. Right? I want to explain something, right? There's somebody in this church, right, who is very close to me. You know? She's more than close to me. Anyways, this person is close to me. I want to get something to this person. Actually, I want to give her money. She doesn't know I want to give her money. She never. So I call Ore, right? Ore is in connection with me. We have a relationship. He's my brother. I talk to him anytime. He comes into my room anytime. Sometimes too much. Right? So this, like, we need to start thinking of the kingdom of God differently. I want to get this money to somebody. Right? Right. So I give Ore the money. I give Ore the money. And I say, Ore, if you go down that aisle, right, go to that last row, right? When you get to that last row, you will see there's a lady there, a young girl, right? She doesn't know. She's been asking me for stuff. But I want to give this to her, right? So you go there. When you get there, you see that she's wearing a black shirt with white polka dots on it. She's wearing glasses too, by the way, just so you won't give it to somebody else. Right? She has a necklace on, like earrings, a little bit of hoops. Yeah, just give her the money. Right? No, you can go. Right? So all he was doing was staying in the presence. He needs the money too. But he's going and he's doing my will. Right? So now he goes. She doesn't know that God is sending somebody. Well, God has answered her prayer. Give her the money, or give her the money. Right? So now Ore comes back. Right? Most of us think this is the place where most of us are. God, you are not answering my own need. Always asking me to do this, do that for other people. When is my own? And God is just like, what are you talking about? Because Ore can simply come back. What do you want? Eh? What do you want? More money. Here's what Ore has access to, right? I gave him cash to go and give somebody. But when, because of the relationship Ore has with me, see, I need to be very careful with this next statement. Ore can come at any time and say, I know I need something. And I don't even need to give him cash. This is my card. Right? So when you are thinking, when God is telling you something, you are looking at that time. Oh God, you gave me this money. This money is for me. No, God is saying, no, look, calm yourself down. Take like 44 notches down. Cool your temper. Just do my will. I'll take care of the rest. Right? So I use that in the case of finances in the kingdom. Give my card back. God won't ask for the card back, but this boy is. Anyways, but that's finances. When it comes to your health, you have to recognize that in the kingdom of God, there's no sick person. Not once in the Bible, KC. Sorry. No, not big KC, small KC. In the kingdom of God, there's no sick person. Jesus didn't need to be healing people until he came to earth. Look, all of your faces, you're just like, what? I mean, did you see it anywhere that Jesus Christ healed one of the angels? Okay. So, in the kingdom of God, in heaven, there's no sickness. So, on earth, there shouldn't be any kind of sickness. That's why when Jesus got to a place and he sees people that are sick, he says he was moved with compassion. Why? Because these people don't recognize that, man, you guys are not, you are from heaven. Recognize what you got. You don't need to be sick. You don't need to be. And then, they can't do it by themselves. I'll do it for them. So that they can see that this kingdom is above sickness. So now when he left and he says, greater things shall you do. When sickness tries to come upon you, and you just, that's not what is in the kingdom of heaven. No. So I don't know about this sickness. It's not my portion. Simple. That's it. It's done. See, but you are still seeing it. You are still seeing. You are taking your temperature. You are still hot. And everybody around you is telling you, this thing, especially when you go on WebMD, oh God, there's nothing, no kind of symptom that you have. If you go on WebMD, you will surely lead back to some type of cancer. But you're going on WebMD. Who said you should go to WebMD? Don't go to WebMD. If sickness tries to come on you, go back to headquarters and say, guys, in this case, Jesus, Holy Spirit, there's no sickness in the kingdom of God. I don't understand what's going on. And then he will give you the word. He'll say, look, Jesus Christ healed your diseases. So stand on the word. And then you stand on the word and you experience your healing. Right? So we have to start looking from the perspective of what is in the kingdom of heaven to start experiencing what we are truly supposed to experience here on the kingdom, here on earth. Right? Let's look at what. Because some people have some things in this life that they think, oh my God, this thing cannot be, it's not possible. Stuff that, laws of physics, all those kind of things you've been taught in school. If you throw something up, it must come down. If you enter the water, you will drown if you can't swim. I want to show you that the kingdom of God is even above all those things we call laws. Right? Two instances, one in the Old Testament, one in the New, because for those of us that are still King James. And then when the children of Israel were fighting and Joshua was their leader, he did something amazing. He put his hand up and the sun did not go down until they were done. Man, I wish you people read the Bible the way like I do. Those things challenge me. For somebody here on earth, the sun, we know all the physicists, they've done all the calculations. You know how massive that sun is. The sun
did not set. Because at that time, the children of God were operating. So everything else has to calm down for the children of God. Right?
Let's look at Gehazi. They came to carry Gehazi and the prophet. He started panicking.
And the prophet looked at him and said, "Boy, why are you panicking? Don't you know that we have more than they have?" And he says, "Lord, open his eyes." And he saw the multitude of angels. We are so concerned about the physical world. And Pastor said this on Thursday. We forget the spiritual. We forget that we are spirits and we come from a different kingdom. We are not supposed to walk by what we are seeing. Right? Remember when they were trying to build a little place for the prophet? And one of them, the axe, fell into the water. What did he do? He didn't try to go and study the buoyancy and all that stuff. He just simply went back to the prophet. He said, "Oga, the axe, oh, that's falling." And then what did the prophet do? He said, "Show me where." He went there, took a stick, the one that is supposed to float on water, dropped it in that place. The stick sank. The axe, iron. And you're worried about paying your rent. Okay, New Testament. And this is where Oheka will continue from. New Testament. Peter. Right? They were on the boat going back home. And Jesus was not with them. He was praying. So he was going to catch up with them. Guess what Jesus did? Oh, he dominated the earth. He was like, "You know what? You people are taking boats. I'm going to just walk on this water." Because in the kingdom, the kingdom above created this kingdom. So the kingdom above is much more stronger than this kingdom. So this water that you think, forget it. You don't understand where you are. I created this. I'm going to walk on it. He started walking on it. Peter saw him. You know, I like Peter. Peter is the kind of guy you need on your team. He's always asking questions. He's never afraid to start something. He said, "Master, if that's you, tell me to come." Now we see a dialogue of how the kingdom of God in heaven and on earth is supposed to operate. Right? Here is Jesus doing something amazing, exhibiting the power that is in the kingdom of heaven, walking on water. Peter asked, "If it is you, tell me to come." And Jesus said one word. He said, "Come." Right? Here is the word of the king. He said, "Come." And then Peter, knowing that this is the king that said it, he stepped out. I can't really step, you know. I mean, maybe that's a little limit on what I'm preaching, but, you know, if God asks me to step, I'll step. But if I step now and I start walking, you people will run outside the door. You say, "I know, has come again." But Peter stepped, and instantly something tremendous happened. We saw how the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth can start to operate with each other, and we'll see the manifestation of God. Jesus was already walking. The word came. Peter took the word, responded to it immediately, stepped out, and started walking. That word, not only did it change the physical attribute, Peter was no longer a man as you see him, because clearly he was walking on water. The water, the physical properties of the water changed. Because water, you're supposed to sink. But at that time, everywhere Peter stepped, the word changed everything. Peter, you're going to walk. The water, you're going to stay because the word has come, so you have to respond to the word. The things in the world were created by the word. Right? So when you want to change those things, It's the word that you need to change those things. You are in a kingdom on earth that is responding to a kingdom in heaven. And the connection is the word. Because once the word comes, everything has to change. Right? So when you find yourself in a situation, you don't need to run to CDMD or WebMD. Just go to the word. Find the word. Because once you find the word, it changes everything. The word starts to change everything surrounding that situation for you. Right? I'll just give an example, and this will be where I close. Something happened to me, because the best way I could give the example is with my life. Right? There was this day, well, it wasn't just one day. I had work authorization, right? I was applying for an extension. It hadn't come. And I was in my office, and the people from ICE, I don't know, some of you might know them, some of you might not, they came. They said they want to see me. My boss said, "Do you want me to be there?" I said, "No, I got this." They talked to me. They said, "You know, we just have to do our due process, and we just have to ask you to come in, you know, all this stuff." So they said I should come in. I went to their office. I was sitting down in their office, and if I tell you, on my left and on my right, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I saw them deporting people, literally, on my left and on my right. And I was sitting down there, and somehow in my spirit, a word came up. It said, 1,000 shall fall on your left. Instantly, in that moment, I knew I was safe. I was like, there's nothing they can do here. I'm good. We started talking. In fact, the guy was asking me, "Where do you buy your shoes?" I said, "It's my fiance at the time. She bought it for me." He said, "Banana Republic." We were having conversation. At the end, they were like, "Oh, yeah, you could go. You just have to come back every now and then because we need to check something." Okay. I went, right? Because the word came. And I recognized in my spirit that this is not as if I was trying to bring the word up. The word came from God himself. And I responded to the word by believing it instantly. And it was done. Right? So fast forward like a couple of, because I then had a court date. I had to go in front of a judge. Right? The night before, I was going to pray, you know, because Christians, every time you are going to do something with the Lord, you start, "Oh, Father, 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 you are Heavenly Father, the only one, you are the Messiah." Oh, but that day God said, "You don't need to pray." I went back home, and I know my siblings will remember this, because all I was doing that day, for some reason, was just worshiping God, literally singing. And I was singing. It got to a point in my spirit. God said to me, he said, "It's done." I ran in my house. They will remember this. I ran to each one of them's room. I said, "It's done. It's done. It's done." I stopped singing. I went to sleep. Right? The word had come. I was still going to go to court the next day, but the word had come. Right? So, next day at court, it was like maybe three people before my case. My lawyer asked me, she said, when did you apply for this extension? I gave her the date. She said, "Had you graduated by then?" I said, "No, I graduated like maybe 1 week after." She said, "You know what? The case we came here to do, we're going to scrap everything." I said, "Yes, Jesus Christ. This lawyer, which kind of lawyer is this one going to say?" She said, "We're going to scrap everything. This is the direction we're going to go." She started to present this case in the front of the judge. And the judge asked what do they call the people that are accusing you? Yeah, those guys. She asked them, because our lawyer presented the case. And then the judge asked them, she said, "Wait, so you people knew that he had applied for extension and he didn't graduate before the time?" And they were like, "Yeah." And the judge is like, she looked at me, she said, I apologize. We need to give them a few more time so that they can build a better case. But the next court hearing I have for you is February 25, 2020. And that was the end of it. People are looking for something else. That's the end. It has finished. I left the court. I was done. Because the word had come. Right? And everything surrounding the situation started to change. So if there's nothing that you got from today, take this one thing. You are God's child. You are created in His image. You are from the kingdom of heaven. You live in this earth as an ambassador for Christ. And everything surrounding your life should look exactly like it does in heaven. I hope you are blessed in Jesus' name.